If you served in the Vietnam War, Gulf War, or post-9/11 eras, you and your family may be eligible for expanded VA benefits. File by August 9th to maximize your benefits. Apply for free. Visit va.gov/PACT.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome in. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd today. He is in North Carolina, getting ready to speak at the Bold and Courageous Tour in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Isn't that part of where the Andy Griffith Show, Mayberry? I think Mount Airy was just up the street from where Mayberry was in North Carolina. But Todd is there. I'm not sure if Andy and Aunt Bea and Opie and the rest are going to be there. But they are having a gathering, which includes Mark Robinson, who's the North Carolina Lieutenant Governor, who's running for governor. Nikita Koloff is also going to be speaking there. He's a Hall of Fame professional wrestler. Hey, did y'all see when Trump went into the fight arena in, I think it was in Vegas or it was in L.A. over the weekend, 50,000 people cheering like crazy as Donald Trump entered the arena looking like he was going to get in the ring and fight. The crowd going nuts. Every time they showed a picture of him, he was getting cheered. And you had wrestlers and fighters crawling out of the arena to come shake hands with President Trump. Meanwhile, you had Joe Biden laying on the beach in Delaware, looking like a beached whale that nobody was paying any attention to, could barely struggle to walk through the sand to get there. The juxtaposition of the image of Trump in that arena and Biden at the beach and then speaking at a small gathering that was sparsely attended as well, just, again, shows the dynamic difference, which is why Democrats are in absolute disarray. And we're going to talk a little bit about that throughout the course of the day. But Todd's going to be speaking at the Bold and Courageous Tour, offering faith and community leaders and elected officials an opportunity to share their viewpoints on public policy. It's at Mount Airy Wesleyan Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina, tonight at 6 p.m. If you're in that area, you can still make sure you attend the Faith and Freedom Coalition gathering, but that's where Todd is today. He will be back in action tomorrow, but in the meantime, I'm going to carry you through the events and actions and news of the day. You can, by the way, go to my Twitter account, @TheGillReport, find links to some of the stories we're talking about today. We're going to talk with Congressman Zach Nunn from Iowa in about 20 minutes. He's a congressman from Iowa, former Air Force, serving in the United States Air Force, is an expert on cybersecurity, among other things. But he's also in the midst of this national defense authorization battle as Congress is moving forward with the Pentagon's request. There are about 3,000 proposals, amendments that have been put forward. They're about a quarter of the way through them. They're dealing with some of the less controversial ones at this point. But that battle is underway today as they're trying to figure out how to address some of the issues within the Pentagon, some of the issues in our defense industry, including whether or not to continue to allow these transgender drag shows on military bases and posts around the country. That's one of the, quote, controversial items, whether or not these drag shows should be taking place on our military installations. Also, whether the promotion of generals, admirals, and other leaders in the military should be based upon what they are, their color, their ethnicity, their sexual preferences. The Biden administration is wanting to move merit to the side and promote generals and admirals based upon how woke they are. That's going to be one of the issues that they're going to be debating. Anyway, Congressman Zach Nunn, who has served and continues to serve in the Air Force Reserve, is going to join us. Served a couple of tours. I think it was in Afghanistan, but we'll talk with Zach at 12:35, get the latest on the wokeness in the military. For those of you who have served in the military, feel free to weigh in during the course of the day as we talk about the debate over the National Defense Authorization Act and how Congress is going to start to put the lid on some of the wokeness that the military has advanced in the last decade or two. you've seen generals and admirals get appointed and promoted based upon how woke they are, not how capable they are at leading men and women, not how capable they are at training our troops to be able to do well in combat. No, it's, are we going to taunt our enemies with the wrong pronouns? That's how we're going to combat the Chinese, the Russians, and anybody else that decides to test our military skills in the future. You know, how woke are we? How capable are we of using the right pronouns while they're learning to, you know, blow things up, kill people, and advance militarily? So that's a big part of the debate. If you've served in the military and are watching what's going on as you see these woke generals and admirals get promoted at the expense of warriors, feel free to call in and share your thoughts with us today. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. That debate's going on in Congress literally right now, and Zach Nunn's going to step out and give us a little update in just a little while. We're also going to talk with the Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton about an issue that is not just a Tennessee issue, but I know that later in the show today we're going to talk to Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall about this Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that just came down last week upholding Tennessee legislation that is intending to block this surgery on minors, transgender surgery on minors. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the Tennessee legislation blocking that kind of surgery for minors. Tennessee Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti is working hard on that issue. Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton is going to join us in about an hour or so to talk a little bit about that and how that legislation and how the Court of Appeals, Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, upholding the Tennessee law is good news for those who are wanting to stop this, you know, just ridiculous permanent surgical approach to mental illness in young children that is being promoted in some cases by equally mentally ill parents. But we'll talk about that with the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, and how attorney generals across the country, Republican attorney generals, are dealing with that same issue. I think there's about 18 or 19 state legislators who have dealt with this issue, trying to block this permanent surgical approach to this gender dysphoria that has become such a trend. You may have seen this last week that at Brown University, 40% of students at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, are now claiming to be lesbian, gay, transgender, in the LGBTQ community. 40%. Just a few years ago, you were looking at about 5%, which indicates this is not a real issue. This is a trend. This is a let's be in the cool crowd and identify in this way because that makes me cooler than people who are just your normal heterosexual types. And if, I don't know if you've noticed, by the way, that in addition to this kind of push to, you know, deal with these mental dysphoria issues among children in a surgical way, let's deal with it with a scalpel rather than with mental treatment. Let's let this push cause companies to embrace the LGBT community and their radical agenda that's making them go broke. You now even have Bud Light and their officials admitting, okay, that was a bad call. You think? They've lost billions of dollars. You've seen Disney, their latest round of films. You know, they've lost billions of dollars at the box office because they've decided to promote the woke gay agenda. Target, Levi's, Bud Light that we mentioned. Jack Daniels decided to embrace Pride Month and have paid a price at the liquor stores as well. All of these companies that decide to go woke do tend to go broke. Now, on the flip side of that, we're seeing that not only are conservatives and Christians and those who want to adopt common sense, science, and values that are more culturally appropriate, the boycotts, the pushback is obviously having a big impact. But on the flip side, you see a film like Sound of Freedom come out that blew away the new Indiana Jones film at the box office, I think 40 million or more at the box office in its initial few days of opening. People are not just pushing back against the radical left-wing agenda. They're pushing forward the common sense pro-America agenda. We saw the same thing with the Tom Cruise film about, you know, Navy fighter jets. You know, when people were going and cheering and seeing that in complete contradiction to what Hollywood wants to put forward. But Hollywood keeps losing, and the conservative films, the Christian films like Sound of Freedom are the ones that are advancing and winning at the box office and hopefully winning hearts and minds as well. If you have not seen that film, Sound of Freedom. I encourage you to go see it. Not only to support the kind of cultural value-based films that get short shrift in Hollywood, but also because it's important. I mean, the sex trafficking in the United States of America is out of control. And yet, you have Epstein and the Epstein Island and all of those who are in the elite, upper class, Hollywood entertainment types, music types, politically powerful types. Nobody's been prosecuted. Ghislaine Maxwell went to jail. She hadn't produced the black book that details who all was involved. The FBI, the intelligence agencies, they know who was involved. They know the guest list at the Epstein Island. But they've not prosecuted people. They've not put them forth publicly and caused them to suffer as they should, as the children that they take advantage of have suffered. But if you have not seen the film, I encourage you to go, again, in part to support that kind of filmmaking, but also to make sure that this issue doesn't go away. And it's not just in places like New York and L.A. and the big cities. These sorts of sexual trafficking issues where young boys, young girls are being brought into this and then brought across our border with the Biden administration's pro-pedophilia, let's leave the border open and let sex trafficking occur without any real restriction. It's happening in small communities, rural America. All those little spas where they're doing the massages in some seedy-looking hotel just off the interstate, those are sexual trafficking items, and they're bringing kids from all over the world into communities across this country. And a lot of the folks in our law enforcement, a lot of the folks in our political arenas are ignoring it because they're a part of it. But it's happening right in your neighborhood. It's happening right in your community. And hopefully this film will help to shine the spotlight. And like cockroaches scurrying into the dark, maybe it'll force these folks in the deep recesses if they're not being forced into prisons and perhaps worse. Anyway, that's one of the other films that you want to make sure that you add to your list. Also, on KWAM, the mother station of the Todd Starnes Show in Memphis, Tennessee, earlier this week, Congressman Tim Burchett from East Tennessee, from Knoxville, Tennessee, broke the story about his access to UFO alien information. Now, there's a distinction between UFOs and aliens. UFOs are stuff we don't even know what's up there. But there is more and more evidence that aliens have visited this planet, that the U.S. government and other governments probably as well are aware of what's been going on in our skies and on our planet for decades, if not centuries. And Tim's going to join us briefly. They're, again, going in and out of votes very quickly at about 1 o'clock Central Time. So if you want to hear the latest from Tim Burchett and kind of what he can reveal, and he can't reveal everything, but he's revealing more and more about the threat we face from these alien spacecraft that are not anything that is physically and physically possible on our planet at this point, that should cause us to have concern, and the U.S. government ought to be being more honest about it, ought to be being more forthcoming about it. And Tim Burchett will share what he can share with us about 1 o'clock Central Time as well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the Democrats are in disarray. Not only do you have Joe Biden fumbling, stumbling, bumbling around, goes to a gathering of world leaders in Europe, and can't even stay awake long enough to go to dinner with the other world leaders, in part probably to keep him away so they don't realize how weak and incapable he actually is. But you've got Joe Manchin considering apparently a third party run for president, the senator from West Virginia. Absolutely no shot that he can get elected again in West Virginia. Is he seriously looking at a third party run? And what does that do to the Democrats' chances of winning against Donald Trump or anybody if a part of their base is going to be pulled aside, particularly in a state-by-state-by-state kind of battleground? All right, we're going to talk about Democrats in disarray. RFK Jr. is out there. And Sleepy Joe Biden, will he even make it as their nominee? We'll talk about more of that and a lot more. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd Starnes today, and we will be right back.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. He is over in North Carolina speaking to a Faith and Freedom Coalition event tonight in Mount Airy, North Carolina. If you're in that region, be sure to get out and check that out. I mentioned at the outset of the show today that Democrats are the ones in disarray. There's so much media attention to the Republicans and the battle between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and all the other candidates who are jumping in the maybe hope, maybe expectation, belief that somehow Donald Trump will drop from his massive lead over the other Republican contenders. But it's the Democrats who are really in the most trouble when it comes to presidential politics. First of all, you got stumbling, bumbling Joe Biden, who can barely get out a sentence that makes any sense. And, you know, when you have him and John Fetterman, the senator from Pennsylvania, talking, it's apparent that they're the only two who understand each other. It's kind of like when you watch 2 1-year-olds babbling to each other. Maybe they understand each other. Nobody else does. So Joe Biden, I don't believe, will actually make it as the Democrat nominee by the time we get to January, much less into the real battleground of Democrat primaries. They're trying to game the system. They're trying to keep RFK Jr. from getting any debates, getting any attention. You've got Gavin Newsom on the sidelines, the gelled one who has destroyed the once great state of California, continues to create the biggest exodus we've seen since Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. And yet he's taking shots at folks like Governor Abbott in Texas, whose state's running well compared to California, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, whose state's running very well compared to California. And now he's taking even little digs from time to time at Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas. He made a comment this week that the Democrats are not the ones that need to be concerned. It's the Republicans who should be on their heels. Now, he kind of bumbled the statement, couldn't get out the proper term of Republican versus Democrat. But Gavin Newsom takes this little shot, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders responds in a great way with a new little clip that you can see on video. I've got it linked up at my Twitter site, at The Gill Report. But give a listen to how Sarah Huckabee Sanders responds to the gelled California governor.
We should not be on the defensive of the Democratic Party.
Are you sure about that?
The Republican Party should be on their heels.
But the numbers are staggering. We lost 500,000 people in California.
Arkansas had one of the fastest growing metros in the U.S.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders announcing new tax cuts.
And the visual at the end are, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' feet in heels walking, and the graphic says, "And we did it in heels." Sarah Huckabee Sanders knows how to punch back to the guy that's waiting in the wings. If Joe Biden goes down, Gavin Newsom is just kind of hunkering out there waiting for the opportunity to jump in. Now, the Democrats have a problem. They've got to get rid of both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris before things get very much further, because you've got to have other people be able to get in and contest for the Democratic nomination, whether it's Pete Buttigieg, whether it's Jennifer Granholm, some of the other cabinet officials who have absolutely done a miserable job in their jobs. Pete Buttigieg, you know, never been to East Palestine, Ohio, you know, where they had the train derailment, hadn't been able to deal with the chaos in our skies or the lack of chaos in our skies because people get stranded on the ground because of flight delays. Pete Buttigieg, a small-time mayor, is an even smaller-time Secretary of Transportation. So, I mean, the other folks that they have on the bench on the Democrat side are not capable of causing any great stir or any great excitement. It's interesting when you've got Joe Biden. There's nobody in the Democratic Party that loves Joe Biden. Now, maybe Jill Biden may tolerate him. The Hunter Biden clique may like him because they get rich off his name. But there isn't a base in the Democratic Party that is diehard Biden folks. They've got it for Obama. You've got it for Bill Clinton. You don't have that for Joe Biden. Meanwhile, you've got folks on the Republican side that will crawl over cracked glass asphalt in August to support Donald Trump. So what do the Democrats do How do they get rid of Joe? And you got to get rid of Kamala or she steps in. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Join us next, Congressman Zach Nunn from Iowa. The National Defense Authorization Act is up for grabs. He'll give us an update from the halls of Congress in just a few minutes.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
Welcome back in. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes today. If you want to find links to some of the stories we're talking about, go to my Twitter account, @TheGillReport. And we're going to be talking more about the Democrats in disarray as their presidential campaign field continues to kind of, you know, bumble and stumble their way across the field. Joe Manchin's headed to New Hampshire this week. A lot of talk that Joe Manchin may be planning a third-party run. That would destroy the Democrats' chances of being able to beat a Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or anybody else. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But first, let's go live to the Capitol in Washington, D.C. My friend Zach Nunn, who is a congressman from Iowa, former U.S. Air Force officer, still in the reserve, and they're fighting over the National Defense Authorization Act literally as we're speaking. Zach, thanks for gathering with us.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much. Thanks for all you do, you know, across the board here. We are privileged not only to get to serve on this, but, you know, having the conversation with you on the importance of the National Defense Authorization Act, protecting the taxpayer, but also protecting our frontline troops and our veterans who come home. You know, this bill has been going through the process here. It's usually the only vehicle that gets out of town in Washington, D.C., a place notorious for gridlock, but lining it up right now, we've got over 1,200 amendments that are being looked at being put into the NDAA. And I don't like omnibus bills where everything gets put into this, but I do want to prioritize, you know, the defense of the nation and what we're doing on our national security front. So with that, fully committed to making this a success as we march forward.
Now, y'all were working late last night, got through about, I don't know, 20-25% of the 12 or 1,300 amendments. Some of the more controversial ones have kind of been put to the side in the hope that you can kind of go ahead and get part of it passed. But things like drag shows on military installations, that as I understand, has kind of been put on the side. But that's an example of the kind of woke radical stuff that the Pentagon is putting forward that Republicans in Congress are trying to put a stop to.
Yeah, Steve, so let's just look at the facts of this situation. I mean, when we talk about the U.S. Army missing its recruitment goals by 25% last year, that's 15,000 soldiers that we don't have to defend the country or put on the front line or protect the southern border. This is a reality. The Army is in a spot right now where military members don't want their kids joining the U.S. military today. I'm a dad of six kids, two fosters, two adopted, and two of our own. And the reality is here, I don't know that there are certain situations, if the military keeps going where it is, where I can convince my own children to join the military. That's not the case we want to be. These are young men and women who raised their hand and said they will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against enemies foreign and domestic, but we have a situation on the home front where we can't even fill our ranks. Now, I know many of your listeners here are in the same boat. We've all deployed. We've served with folks of all types of backgrounds. I celebrate that. I honor that. We recognize we're fighting for one flag. But when we have a Department of Defense that's more focused on, you know, going after a small recruitment number of individuals who may at some point be interested in joining the military versus the vast majority of people who have actively sought to defend the country and want their families being part of this, we do ourselves a disservice. And the other aspect of this is the available man and woman pool to join the military has gone down at a dramatic rate since World War II. I mean, we've got nearly a third of the United States who can't even qualify for the basic level physical fitness test, let alone those who are willing to go and serve in harm's way, in this case for an administration that bailed on Afghanistan, doesn't know what it's doing in the Middle East, has no plan of action going forward for Ukraine. And we ask our sons and daughters, hey, but you should sign up and make this your life's mission. We're asking a lot out of the youth of America.
But, Zach, let's be honest. We're purely positioned to taunt the Chinese soldiers and Russian soldiers on the battlefield by calling them the wrong pronouns. We're training that, where we may not be able to shoot them and kill them, but by gosh, we can make them feel bad by calling them the wrong pronoun.
Well, and in that case, we'll probably actually get a fine at the end of the day if we go to certain states like Minnesota for saying the wrong thing about them.
You know, one of the sad things about this is, as you point out, you know, the military is trying to increase their recruiting targets in, I guess, places like San Francisco and New York City in the gay and lesbian community. But they're losing flyover country, which is where the vast majority of recruits come from. And as you point out, most of the folks, I had the opportunity to embed a couple of times in Iraq. I've been able to be on military installations my whole life with my dad, as you know, being an Air Force fighter pilot. Yeah. The folks that serve in our military, as you point out, generally are second, third, fourth, and fifth generation. If we lose that, we lose our military.
Steve, no, you're absolutely right, and that's where the cadre comes from. Now, let me be the first to say, you and I are from flyover country, but it was in flyover country in my home state of Iowa that we trained the first African-American soldiers as officers. It was in my home state of Iowa where we got the first female nurses corps to start flying aircraft as bomber relief into England during World War II. I'm all for a, you know, big tent military. I'm not for a let's sacrifice what has worked so that we can chase down the rabbit hole of a few that we hope we get in here, because we end up hurting both sides, particularly those who are currently serving and those who want to come into it. You know, I have flown combat operation over Iraq and Afghanistan more times than I care to count, but I knew that on that aircraft with me, there were people from all over the country. They had all types of backgrounds, and they each brought something pivotal to the team. But you know what none of us did when we were on a combat raid? We weren't talking about like what my, you know, personal preference was. It was about getting mission done, helping guys on the ground, and making sure that we all came back alive. That was the unifying source that kept us flying together. And that's why we got multiple successful missions done, because we worked together. We weren't identifying what separated us. We were focused on what brought us together on the mission.
Yeah, what I also found is that those young men and women on patrols in Baghdad and Fallujah and Tikrit, the first thing they were doing when they got back to the FOB was getting behind Call of Duty, because they didn't get enough of the real thing during the day. They were getting on Call of Duty and doing it virtually. And they were awfully good at both. One of the things that I've told people for a long time, Zach, is that, you know, I grew up on in gated communities. They were called Air Force bases. And when you look at the way that we're treating not just our military personnel when we're doing our funding, but their families, they need the support. Those when they come home that are veterans, they need the support. We're throwing hundreds of billions of dollars into other projects and letting our veterans and their families suffer on our gated communities called military bases and posts.
See, and you know this, the hardest job in the military is being the mother of a military member, the spouse of a military member, the kid of a military member, or being a veteran who's come home from their military service and is left out in the cold, and we see them when we're either at a VA hospital or in a worst-case scenario, sitting on the park bench on the drive home. This is the reality. When we bleed money off to try and chase what I will call social engineering programs that the administration is doing, not only do we leave our frontline soldier out in the cold, we leave everybody else who's on that back end in a harder position marching forward. So you're absolutely right here. The redirection of resources to pursue, you know, recruitment goals of individuals who, you know, the administration wants to see in uniform leaves those of us who are serving, who will serve, and who have served far behind, under resources, and outgunned.
And now the administration announcing that they want to promote people in the military based upon gender, diversity, those kind of things, not based on merit. I know you've got to do a hard out quick. Let me ask you two quick things. Cluster bombs for Ukraine. These are considered war crimes by about 120 other countries. The Biden administration is reversing course and saying, no, let's send cluster bombs to Ukraine. Is that going to advance in the NDAA?
So I'll be very candid. There is a growing consensus among both Republicans and Democrats, some strange bedfellows here, that not only are cluster bombs bad for Ukraine, it does us no good to write a blank check to Ukraine on cluster bombs. That ultimately is an area where we want to be able to have the Ukrainian people re-inhabit. You know, I'll give you a really quick story here, Steve. In 2018, I went over, I've flown recon mission off of the coast of Ukraine. I went over and I saw little Ukrainian grandmothers, little babushkas, trying to vote in the Donbas region. And the Russians had planted mines all around the polling station. And these women, after living a life through Stalin and Soviet occupation, walked across minefields to go vote. The Ukrainian people are hardened here. We should have been, a year ago, giving them the type of defense weapons that could have protected, you know, the 125,000 Ukrainians who have died. That means surface-to-air missiles. It means fighter aircraft. But that was a year ago. Now we have an administration a year and a half later who wants to write a blank check to Zelensky, who has no real tactical plan for success here. And their answer is, let's put cluster munitions all across one of the most populous parts of the world and hope that nothing bad happens in generations to come. You know, this is as bad as when we asked the Ukrainian military to give up its nuclear weapons and promised them that they'd never be invaded. And look how that's worked out for us.
But we also promised Russia that we'd never put NATO in Ukraine. You know, the broken right. promises on both sides have got us where we are. Last question real quickly. You've had security clearances. I've had security clearances. The President of the United States has security clearances. And yet he goes on TV and announces that we're out of ammo. Thank God the Chinese and the Russians don't pay any attention to U.S. media, or they might realize that the Chinese could invade Taiwan. We don't have the weapons to repel them because we're out of ammo. Is there anything going to be done by Congress to deal with this horrific breach, perhaps treasonous breach, by the President of the United States?
Yeah, so I think we have a number of bills that we're working through on this. You've seen the resolutions come to the floor that hold the president accountable on things like the southern border. I want to be very aggressive here. As a career intelligence officer, I don't care whether you are a National Guardsman from, you know, New England, whether you're the President of the United States, or whether you're Private Bradley Manning, who gets an expungement by President Obama. When you breach sensitive data that is classified at the secret or top secret level, you are not only putting intelligence officers at risk, you're compromising America's sources and methods. And ultimately, you're putting every single American at risk that we won't be able to defend ourselves. We are seeing that now with Taiwan. We have failed at the switch at the administration to be able to resupply and maintain a level of strategic ambiguity that deters bad actors like China. In Congress, not only do we have to be able to fund the NDAA, we've got to be able to fund our own arsenal so that we're ready to be lethal without question at a time and place of our choosing, not a time of exploitation by our adversaries, because now they know where our vulnerabilities exist.
But at least we don't have members of Congress giving up secrets for sex like Eric Swalwell. Zach Nunn, thank you for being with us. Get back in there and vote and keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thanks, Hero. We'll be fighting through tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Congressman Zach Nunn, Iowa, freshman congressman from Iowa, who's doing stellar work, great service, active duty in the Air Force and now still in the reserve and fighting now on the front lines in Congress where hopefully we'll see some wins today. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the disarray that the Democrats are facing. Will Joe Manchin decide to run as a third-party candidate? He's going to be going to New Hampshire this weekend. That's usually a pretty good sign. He's going to be campaigning or visiting with Huntsman, former Republican governor of Utah. They're part of a group that's trying to, quote, bring people together. The Democrats are panicked over this, same way they are that if they push RFK Jr. to the side, will that force him to run as a third party? Can Democrats win the White House if they've got some of their own running as third party candidates? We'll get into that, talk more about it, and we'll take your phone calls on the issue. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm filling in for Todd. I'm Steve Gill, and we'll be right back.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather
peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Welcome back in. This is the Todd Starn Show, live from the Liberty University studios. Todd is in North Carolina today. He's going to be speaking tonight. And if you're in the Mount Airy, North Carolina area, you need to make sure that you get over and check out Todd. He's going to be appearing with Mark Robinson, the North Carolina lieutenant governor, who is running for governor as well. Man, I love this guy. He is awesome. And Todd's going to be part of the Bold and Courageous Tour in Mount Airy, North Carolina at 6 p.m. tonight. Again, if you're over in that area, tickets are free, but they are required to attend, and you need to make sure you get your seat reserved and go hear what Todd and Mark Robinson and the others have to say. It's a great event to again, get folks ready and revved up for a presidential campaign that is getting more and more heated. Republicans are in the right direction in terms of what the American people are wanting. When you look at the direction of the country, you know, people are just satisfied with that. They don't like the way the economy is going under President Biden. The Biden administration has literally done everything wrong. The border is open. Sex trafficking is at a high. Our cities are awash with crime and violence that Democrat blue city governors and mayors are not addressing. You got George Soros funding DAs who practice the catch and release program of putting criminals back on the street instead of behind bars and away from those of us who might be harmed by them. You know, the energy sector has been destroyed by Biden administration from day one, just, you know, stopping the flow of our oil, our natural gas, putting us at more risk of what the Middle East and even what Russia wants to do. This whole Russia-Ukraine conflict, we put sanctions on Russia and just increased the price of oil and gas. We're funding their side of the war by them being able to charge more for a barrel of oil, more for natural gas than they were before. And meanwhile, we're having to pay more and have depleted our oil reserves to the point we're going to have to rebuy barrels of oil at a much higher price than we had before because we're depleting our oil reserves in order to keep the gas prices a little lower than they were just because the president was wanting to survive past the midterm elections with people not paying $5, $6, $7 a gallon gas. It's going to go back up because we don't have any reserve. And if we got into a conflict, as we were talking with Congressman Nunn in the last segment, not only has the president disclosed we don't have ammo because we've given it to Ukraine, can't crank it up fast enough to be able to deal with a conflict with China if they were to invade Taiwan, we also don't have the energy reserves. So we've depleted our mobility and depleted our munitions all for the sake of Ukraine, which won't account for where the money went, other than a lot of it apparently going into the pockets of the Biden crime syndicate. Anyway, so Joe Biden is their guy. They've got to find a way to move Joe Biden aside without letting Kamala Harris step in. And they've got a short timetable to do that. If the Democrats don't remove Joe Biden as their nominee quickly, then at the time that it does happen, maybe in January, February, March, the heir apparent's going to be Kamala Harris. Now, some Republicans have done a good job already pointing out that a vote for Joe Biden is really a vote for Kamala Harris because this doddering, senile guy cannot serve another 4 years. It's going to be Kamala Harris if that's where we move forward. So a vote for Joe is a vote for Kamala. And you can't understand her any better than you can understand Joe Biden or John Fetterman. If you've not seen that video clip comparing her comments, Kamala Harris's comments, with Veep, the Veep vice presidential representative in that TV series comedy, it's scary how Kamala Harris could be, you know, from the scene of Veep. the Democrats don't want her. So they've got to move Joe out fast enough that they can also have other candidates get in and not let Kamala Harris just be the heir apparent. Is that going to be Gavin Newsom? Is that going to be Pete Buttigieg? Is it going to be RFK Jr.? You know, a host of other Democrats may want to try to vie for the spot. Now, Joe Manchin, who might actually appeal to that center and perhaps even some independents, is not going to go anywhere in the Democratic primary process, but he may run as a third-party candidate. He's going to New Hampshire this weekend. And that terrified sound you hear from Democrats nationally is the prospect that Joe Manchin runs as a third-party candidate, perhaps delivering Donald Trump into the White House. We'll talk more in a moment. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to come.
At Vast National Bank, we value our billions of customers. Whether you're in Dubai or Tokyo or just London, we care. So bank big with us. Sure, your local community bank may seem friendly and helpful. Their small business loans may even help your town grow and prosper or whatever. But would they help you liquidate an offshore account to bedazzle your private jet? No.
Bank with a community bank and help your community grow. Find yours at banklocally.org.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
And welcome in. This is the Todd Starnes Show, live from the Liberty University studios in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd today as he's speaking in Mount Airy, North Carolina tonight. And if you're in that region, be sure to go catch that. Just when you think things can't get any crazier or weirder, the FBI, the Department of Defense, our national intelligence agencies apparently covering up not just, you know, the more mundane things like, well, major crimes by the Biden crime family syndicate, but also these alien aircraft that are apparently flying over our skies and through our oceans. And one of the members of Congress, Tim Burchett, who's a longtime friend, family friend from Knoxville, is one of the few guys that are out there kind of exposing it, broke the story first on KWAM, the mothership of, no pun intended, of the Todd Starnes Show here in Memphis. And Tim was on with Fox News the other day, Jesse Waters, and he's joined us from Congress right now. And Tim, a great friend, longtime friend. Have you got the Carhartt franchise on these other alien planets at this point?
Well, we're in negotiations. apparently, they're right-to-work planets, so we don't. And Carhartt is a union label, so we're kind of in the middle of it.
You know, on a serious note, you've pointed out that these aircraft that can go into water and have apparently no friction. We have nothing to contest with this. It violates the laws of physics and physicality. As you were pointing on with Jesse Waters the other day, this isn't the Russians. This isn't the Chinese. This is something we need to be able to address, and our government's keeping it from us.
Well, they are, and you know, they've told us forever they don't exist, but then every time I try to get a file from them, they won't release it. And so I've got an amendment in the NDAA that says that basically it just declassifies all the UFO, all the UFO files they have. But I think the thing that's compelling to me, Steve, is these Navy pilots that are on these, it's called the Tic Tac video, like the candy, not like the Chinese propaganda wing, but Tic Tac videos. If you Google that or YouTube it, that shows, and you can hear the Navy pilots talking about it. And that the Navy pilots that are on that just so happens to be one of our top pilots. And he is one of the top pilots in the world. And he's a legend in that group. And, you know, and I've met with pilots who've told me, they said that they can't, they will destroy tapes because when they come back, they'll get interrogated for 8 hours and have a blemish on their record. And there's supposed to be whistleblower protection on these things. Of course, you know, that's military intelligence. I guess that's a whole lot like congressional ethics. It does not exist, but you know, and I'm not, and I don't know what they are. I don't know where they come from. I would just like to get to the bottom of it. And, you know, and two, I get, they come at you and they say, Birches, and there's anything we need, this is, you know, we need to be on something else. Is this the most important thing we can deal with? You got somebody flying around in a $50 million aircraft, one of our brave men or women, and they've had 13 near misses. These are documented near misses with these craft. And so, you know, I think we need to start coming forth with the information. And we're going to have some hearings, and hopefully we'll get to the bottom of some of it. I don't know. I suspect the Pentagon, well, I know the Pentagon's already putting pressure on some people not to show up. So we'll see what happens.
We can't even get accountability of what we're spending in Ukraine, much less accountability of what's happening in our skies and around the world as well. Tim Burchett with us, Congressman from Knoxville, Tennessee. Privately, Tim, do any of these folks in the military or in our intelligence communities, do any of them at least acknowledge that they are concerned at this being a possible threat to our safety?
Absolutely, 100%. I've had them come in and brief me, and I've caught them out off campus, so to speak, I'll just say, and they are very concerned about this. And, you know, but I've made the statement. Everybody keeps playing it up. They turn us into a charcoal briquette. But if you think that something that can travel light years, I mean, their technology is a little bit more advanced than ours is. And I just don't feel like we're even scratching the surface on this thing. And we don't. I think it's got a lot to do with, you know, the Kennedy files, even, you know, the John F. Kennedy assassination files. They won't even release those, Steve. And we're talking about something that's over 50 years old. There's nobody alive that's even associated with that stuff, and they won't release that. You know, Washington is about power and influence and money and corruption. It all kind of ties in together. So,
and I know you can't share a lot of what you've seen and what you've been given access to. There's a lot of stories that a lot of our technology comes from either recovering these craft or maybe even our government associating with these alien beings and giving us advancements in technology. I know you can't talk the details, but is there anything to that?
Reverse engineering seems to be a, you know, where we have gotten it would be a recovered crash site. But it's like if I took a Harley-Davidson motorcycle and took it to the guys that were on the Mayflower. You know, it'd be a shiny, nice object. They might get it started eventually, but they're not going to be able to change the spark plugs. They're not going to adjust the carburetor. They're not even going to be able to get gasoline to fuel it back then. And that's sort of what we're dealing with here. If I just feel like we've got something that is just so far out that we can't break it down.
If these aliens have this capability, which again, as you point out on the Tic Tac videos, I mean, the ability to fly at speeds we can't do, maneuver at speeds we can't do in the air, fly into the water and then pop back up without any slowing of speed. Why aren't they doing something to us? Is it? I mean, if they watch our news stories and see our president fumbling around, it may just be pure pity.
Well, I said that they flew over Washington and they said there is, in fact, no intelligent life down there.
I know you're in the midst of votes. We talked earlier with Congressman Zach Nunn from Iowa, who is working through the NDAA. I know you're watching very closely and working through those votes as well. What do you anticipate? I think there's like 1,400 amendments. They're working through them slowly. Some of the more outrageous things, like, you know, drag shows on military institutions, promoting people not based on merit but because of gender and other violations of anti-discrimination policies. How do you see this coming to an end through the NDAA? I know you got to get back out there and vote soon.
I don't know, Steve. My biggest question is, why in the world are we having to, if we're in control, the Republicans, why are we having to put amendments in that say take out the drag shows? I mean, they should already be out. It shouldn't even be in consideration.
First, they denied that they were taking place.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. But, you know, I've got a couple of amendments. One says if you're a woman and decide to become a man, then dadgummit, you ought to have to register for the draft like you and I did. And we'll see how uncomfortable they get with that. And there's some other ones on releasing files on the UFOs and things, but we'll see. These things tend to work themselves out. It's the National Defense Authorization Act. And, you know, and the thing I hate about it is, the thing I enjoyed about being in the state legislature was the bill had to have something to do. It had to be germane to the subject matter within the bill. And so much so, they just add so much garbage onto these things, riders and amendments and things, fun things. And just, to me, we would get a lot more trust out of the public if we would just be straightforward and just vote. You know, I don't mind voting for 1,200 amendments. Sit down there on the floor until we get it worked out. Do a few every day and just get it worked out. We've got till September when our fiscal year ends. So let's move in that direction. But I suspect there's going to be some bloodletting before this thing's over.
Last question real quickly, because I know you've got a hard out. The President of the United States goes on television, an interview, and acknowledges that basically we're out of ammo because we've given it to Ukraine without any accountability for even the spending or where some of these munitions and weapons are ending up, probably in the hands of our adversaries. And the Chinese and Russians have to be watching thinking, hey, they've just disclosed they're out of ammo. Will the Republicans in the House do anything to hold this president accountable for this horrific breach of classified information?
Well, we need to defund some of these departments, the FBI, the Justice Department, some portions of the Pentagon, because we do have the government's checkbook, and we need to start. I've heard Jim Jordan talk about it multiple times. We just got to get some guts to do something about it. I doubt we'll do anything. We'll talk and we'll wring our hands and not do a whole lot of anything.
Well, you're great, my friend. Appreciate it. I know you've got to get back there and vote, but always great to catch up, my friend. We'll see you soon, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Steve. See you, brother.
Thank you. Tim Burchett, one of the best, actually. His dad was dean of students at the University of Tennessee. He was a Marine and had served well and was dean of students at UT, and people were just as scared of him then as DIs, dual instructors in the Marines. But Tim comes from great stock and has been a great friend for a long time and is a great friend of taxpayers fighting the good fight in Washington, D.C. on a constant basis. He's having to run back in and get back on some of those amendments on the NDAA. By the way, I mentioned at the end of the last hour that Democrats are in disarray. One other example of that before we take a quick break, a Democrat House member in Georgia. Now, Republicans already have a majority of the House and the Senate in Georgia, but they just picked up another seat as Misha Maynor has left the Democratic Party to join the Republican Party. And she's saying, we've been on a journey for two terms. We've had some wins, but there's a better path and we can do much more. That's why today I'm announcing I'm joining the Republican Party. Now, this is a black woman Democrat in Georgia. She won the 2022 Democratic primary for Georgia's 56th House District, which encompasses a lot of Atlanta's north and northwest, with 65% of the vote. So she's not having to struggle to hang on to her seat. She is solidly in power. She ran unopposed in the general election to win her second term. Now, her switch gives the Republicans in Georgia in the state House 102 to 77 edge. The Republicans also hold an edge in the state Senate. But she says that the Democratic parties, now listen to this carefully. This is a black Democrat woman giving another indication why Democrats are in disarray and worried about what happens in the presidential election and in governor's races and Senate races and House races and state House and state Senate and mayoral and school board races around the country. She says the Democratic Party prioritizes immigrant services at the border over black communities across the U.S. She's voted with Republicans on several key pieces of legislation this year, including a school voucher bill that didn't pass because many rural Republicans opposed it, citing a lack of private school alternatives in the rural areas. She opposed efforts to defund the police. She's actually wanting to make sure that cities and communities are safe rather than the Democrats wanting to continue the catch-and-release programs and turning our cities into these violent havens. Now, again, the Republican governor and Kelly Loeffler, a former Republican Georgia U.S. senator, welcomed her into the party. The bottom line is Democrats are not only bleeding votes, they're now bleeding members. And if they continue to lose pace in the black community, black women, it's not a natural inclination for black women to support Republicans, much less flip from one party to the other when they have a very safe, solid Democrat seat in a Democrat community. This is why they're worried, and they should be. We'll talk more about it in a moment. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. You can find links to that stories and some of the others that we're talking about at my Twitter account, at The Gill Report, at The Gill Report. No, I'm not doing Threads or Teams or whatever the alternative is. Not Twitter is fine, at The Gill Report. And we'll be back with more of the Todd Starnes Show in just a moment. You know, we can all have bad days, but can you have a worse day than the first runner-up for Miss Netherlands in the Miss Universe pageant? I mean, you know, you've worked hard, you've worked out, you know, you've done all the beauty pageant preparation, and you end up getting beat by a guy. I mean, the best-looking guy in the woman in the Netherlands is a guy. So the winner of Miss Netherlands, Miss Universe pageant, is a transgender guy, and he'll go on to represent the Netherlands in the Miss Universe pageant. And, you know, this is all just part of the woke agenda of, you know, he's not even that great of a looking woman. But if you finish behind a guy in a female beauty pageant, I mean, that has to just be a gut kick to your ego, to your self-confidence. I might be the best looking woman in the Netherlands, but I'm not wearing the crown because a guy beat me out. I mean, that's some tough stuff. There's going to have to be some emotional treatment. I mean, that's going to be PTSD if they have pageant treatment syndrome for women that finish second to guys. It's one thing to get beat out by a guy in athletic competition where he's stronger and faster and bigger. But to get beat out in a beauty pageant. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd Starnes. He's over in North Carolina doing a speech to the Faith and Freedom Coalition over there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, which I think is in the vicinity of where Mayberry was theoretically. But Todd's doing that. He'll be back tomorrow. I do want to share with you, though, that eating food that's healthy and fresh is expensive, and it's hard to do. For me, it's my schedule gets tight just like Todd's. So when I'm on the go, you often have to choose between going hungry or eating fast food. And let's be honest, fast food wins a lot of the time. But one of the things that I fall in love with, like Todd, is Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. They're literally sitting on my counter at home. So I don't have to go grocery shopping, continue to throw out produce or fruits that I haven't had time to prepare or fix. So you can just take the Balance of Nature fruits and veggies in a capsule, give you 31 whole fruits and veggies every day at the fraction of the cost of buying them at the grocery store. I mean, you have to fill out a whole cart. I can tell you, since I've started taking Balance of Nature, I've definitely noticed a boost in energy. So why haven't you ordered yours yet? Well, you get money off if you'll order using your preferred customer status by using the discount code Todd, 35% off your first order. That's not chump change. 35% off. Just put in the discount code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you go on balanceofnature.com. You can order by phone by calling 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751, or go to balanceofnature.com. Shipping is always free. Use that discount code Todd, and you'll save 35%, which means that the next time you do go to fast food, you can order the bigger size of fries. Balance out your Balance of Nature. We were talking earlier about the fact that the Congress is full of work today trying to do the National Defense Authorization Act. We've talked with Congressman Zach Nunn. You just heard us talk to Congressman Tim Burchett. By the way, if you want to talk about the UFO business, aliens, are they out there? Should we be fearful? Should we be concerned? If you're a pilot or former military pilot, have you seen anything that might cause you to have some concern? And like Tim Burchett said, off the record, military officials, intelligence officials acknowledge they are concerned because these aircraft, spacecraft that can go underwater, fly through the air, can do things that physics are not capable of achieving in our technology. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Weigh in. What do you think? Is there something out there we should be concerned about? And when we come back, the FBI is in the dock. Chris Wray having to answer some tough questions. He's squirming in the seat. We'll talk about that next on the Todd Starnes Show. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show live from the Liberty University Studios. That'd be live, L-I-V-E, not live, L-A-V-E. Sorry for my southern accent. Live from Memphis. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. You can go to my Twitter account, at The Gill Report. Find links to some of the stories that we're talking about. Also, if you want to phone in, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Man, I don't know. The UFOs, alien stuff, we talked to Congressman Tim Burchett about it in the last segment. And, you know, he acknowledges that people in the intelligence agency and the military say that they're concerned because we don't know what this stuff is. And their technology is certainly better than anything we have. And if it was the Russians or the Chinese, you can expect that they'd be exploiting it already. They wouldn't be waiting. Should we be concerned? And what does it mean from a faith-based standpoint? If there are aliens out there from other planets, from other universes who have the ability to travel over space and time more rapidly than we can even blink, faster than the speed of light, their technology is at that level. What does that do to the whole biblical concept of Jesus Christ? I mean, God could create everything. There's probably planets out there that, you know, he's got his own hand on in other ways. But what would that do to the faith-based communities in the U.S. if all of a sudden alien craft appeared? Did Jesus die for their sins? I mean, it raises all sorts of issues, which is maybe why the government is keeping it from us for our own good, because you can't handle the truth, as a few good men might bring to light. Anyway, if you want to comment about that, feel free to at 844-747-8868. You know, I think we can address the fact that, you know, God's the God of the whole universe. And maybe there was another Jesus on planet Zerxon. Anyway, we can deal with that when they actually do appear in a way that we can communicate with and deal with the challenges of their technology. Now, I mentioned earlier that while the members of Congress are dealing today with the National Defense Authorization Act, there's also another set of hearings going on involving FBI Director Chris Wray. He's been in the hot seat, being given the grilling session that he deserves. The woke FBI intelligence agencies, Department of Defense, have been weaponized by the Democratic Party against the American people and certainly against conservatives and Republicans. Well, Chris Wray was getting a little bit of a tough questioning session in Cut 10 with the question about whether or not Biden has been blocking the free transfer of information in collusion with social media companies.
And then July 4th, we had this explosive 155-page opinion from a federal court in my home state of Louisiana. It explains in detail that the FBI has been directly involved in what the court says is, quote, arguably the most massive attack against free speech in United States history. The court ordered the White House, DOJ, and FBI, among others, to immediately cease colluding with and coercing social media companies to suppress American speech, of course, conservative speech in particular. Director Wray, I find it stunning. You made no mention of this court opinion either in your opening statement today or in this lengthy 14-page report that you prepared on July 12th, which is 8 days after the court ruling. Have you read the ruling, sir?
I am familiar with the ruling, and I've reviewed it with our Office of General Counsel.
Are you deeply disturbed by what they've told you about the ruling if you haven't read it yourself?
Obviously, we're going to comply with the court's order, the court's preliminary injunction. We sent out guidance to the field and the headquarters about how to do that. Needless to say, the injunction itself is a subject of ongoing litigation, and so I'll decline to comment further.
Does anybody believe anything that comes blathering out of the FBI director's mouth? Now, you know, Chris Christie is defending him. Chris Christie is defending this guy because, well, he's against Trump. It doesn't matter what the FBI does to conservatives because Chris Christie apparently doesn't consider himself to be a conservative and doesn't feel like he'll ever be in the target sites. He'd be a big target. Also, Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz, one of my favorites, also took FBI Director Chris Wray to task, pondering whether or not he's protecting the Bidens.
I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? almost suspiciously uncurious, are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI
won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you.
Yeah, that's Matt Gaetz taking Chris Wray to task about the transcript of the text of Hunter Biden shaking down a communist Chinese guy, demanding the $5 million he was owed, and repeatedly saying, I'm sitting here with Daddy. We're going to hold you accountable. Daddy's powerful. Don't mess with Daddy. Send me my money. FBI hadn't done anything with that. Now, the hearing to approve the sweetheart plea deal that Hunter Biden and the prosecutors on his limited number of issues that have been pursued, apparently that may be put off. The judge is apparently considering whether or not to put off the confirmation of this sweetheart plea deal because a lot of other information has come out, including this sort of threat by Hunter Biden. And what about all the other money? What about all the other IRS violations? What about all the other shakedown efforts that have taken place that have not been pursued by the FBI, by the Department of Justice, because, oh yeah, his last name is Biden, so he gets a pass. Anyway, the FBI director getting some harsh questioning, Jim Jordan and others continuing that. Be sure to go to the Twitter account at the Gill Report. At the Gill Report, I'll continue to post some of the excerpts from what's happening in that particular hearing today. It is disturbing, to say the least, that the FBI has become weaponized, that the Department of Justice has become weaponized to the point that they are not true instruments of justice. They are tools in the hands of the Democratic Party to be used against their enemies, which are Republicans and conservatives. Now, the Republicans in the House, you know, they're asking tough questions. But are they taking any action? Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell us you're going to be tough on the FBI. Don't tell us you're going to clean out the mess at the Department of Justice. Do it. You don't have a big majority in the House, but that's what controls the checkbook. You got enough of a majority to cut the funding. You got enough of a majority to actually hold them accountable and demand accounting from them. Why aren't they doing it? You know, there was all this talk when the 20 Republican and conservative House members pushed back against Kevin McCarthy being Speaker of the House and held their votes until they got some special agreements, including the fact that just a handful of members of Congress could ask for another vote on the House Speaker, whether he would retain his power. Are we to the point that it's time now to invoke that new vote and see if Kevin McCarthy can justify the lack of action, the lack of moving ahead with impeachment proceedings against a president who is revealing classified information? I mean, you've got this prosecution of Donald Trump going because he retained documents that he was authorized to do so as president of the United States. Oh, they're going to prosecute him. Got the president of the United States, Joe Biden, going on with his babbling, dementia-ridden commentary revealing that, oh yeah, we're out of weapons. We're out of ammunition. We've given it all to Ukraine. That would be the sort of things that our enemies might want to know. And if somebody that was, well, say just a corporal or a captain in the military was disclosing these kinds of secrets to our enemies, might be an issue of concern. If you want to join us on those topics, 844-747-8868, the number. In the state of Tennessee, we saw a massive rash of infighting over gun laws when there was a shooting at a private school in Nashville that left several dead, including children and several staffers. A couple of legislators erupted on the floor, grabbing a megaphone, creating chaos. They were literally expelled from the House, but they were then put back in. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Cameron Sexton. He is Speaker of the House. We're going to find out what's coming up next. The governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, is wanting to have a special session to deal with red flag laws and to address gun laws in Tennessee and in response to this horrific shooting at a private school. Now, keep in mind, the manifesto of that shooter has still not been released, so we don't really know the motivation. We don't know what they're covering up. We're going to talk about that. And a Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals case has just held up a Tennessee legislative action to prevent surgeries, transgender surgeries for minors. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals saying, yeah, it's constitutional to do that. The left, the LGBTQ community is going nuts over it. We're going to talk with Steve Marshall, the attorney general in Alabama, in the next hour. They're also pushing ahead, and about 19 states that are pushing ahead on this kind of legislation. We'll get the latest from House Speaker Cameron Sexton of Tennessee on this transgender surgery issue when we come back in a moment for more of the Todd Starnes Show. And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd today. Go to @TheGillReport on Twitter or Steve Gill on Facebook, and you'll find links to some of the stories that we're talking about today. Tennessee has been the point of the spear, and we come to you from the Liberty University Studios in Memphis, the mothership of the Todd Starnes Show at KWAM, Mighty990.com. And Tennessee on a whole host of issues, both in terms of economic growth and companies moving from New York and Illinois and California to Tennessee has been both a blessing and a curse. It's great for economic development, great for raising wages and opportunities. But man, some of these people bring their California, New York, Chicago values to town, and Tennessee's having to fight and push back against that. A couple of issues that the Tennessee legislature has dealt with are also the sort of things that legislators, particularly in red states across the country, are dealing with as well. House Speaker Cameron Sexton from Tennessee is on our Newsmakers line on the Todd Starnes Show. And Cam, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate you doing this today.
You know, Tennessee got a lot of attention during the last session when, in the wake of the Covenant shooting, a shooting at a private school in Nashville that left three children and a couple of staffers dead, as well as the shooter. Demands for immediate action and restrictions, including child safety locks, even though the shooter was 28 years old. Background checks, even though the shooter had purchased guns, despite the fact that she was under mental health treatment. So a lot of things were in place that should have prevented this from happening, but the school was not locked down. And I know the legislature is now looking at a special session called by the governor. What is going to be the next step? And the manifesto that would detail the specifics of what the shooter did, why she chose that location, what motivated her, still being held secret by the authorities. What is going to happen next in this special session? Has there been any specific detail of what you're going to have to deal with?
I mean, there's some. We're still working through some issues. I think it's good for the listeners to know what we have done already is we've funded SROs in every public school in the state of Tennessee, giving them the funding. Some school systems, unfortunately, may or may not want to do it at their discretion. We've also had money for private and public schools to do hardening of their schools, which could mean security cameras. It could mean the film on the windows. It could be making one entrance and one exit only. And so we've done all those things, which we do know from the shooter that she was looking at other places, and a deterrent was security being there. And so hopefully the SROs will provide a level of security as well as comfort, as well as eyes on the ground at every school in the state. I think if you're looking at where we go now, I think one of the things we've talked to TBI about in law enforcement is the problems that we have with our normal background check system. And so we all know that, you know, if you're a felon or you've been mentally committed to a hospital or adjudicated in court, you're not supposed to be able to purchase a gun. And we all thought that data was being input on a relatively short basis. What we determined is there's still 12 years of data out there that hasn't been put in the database. And so we need to create a uniform court system for the clerks to make that real time, so it's an instant background check. So there's no reason if someone's adjudicated in court that their data is still 12 years old and it's not in the database. That doesn't make sense. Also, we're going to look at the emergency involuntary commitment statute. It's really being used right now for people who are suicidal because it says that you have to be an immediate threat. Well, most mass shooters, like this lady, they're not an immediate threat until the day, but they do what all studies show and what happened with this individual is they did do general mass threats. They did spill some of what they wanted to do, but there was no way to do an emergency involuntary commitment because it wasn't deemed an immediate threat. And then the last thing I think to look at is we're also looking at a duty report for physicians. if someone makes a threat, I think there's a conversation going on about if it was a specific threat or a general threat. Physicians or psychiatrists or psychologists are supposed to report that to law enforcement immediately. We're trying to see if there's a gray, if there's a gray area in there, why something may not have been reported, which would have given law enforcement the ability to go in and check on this individual, and maybe be able to do some mental health assessment. So I think there's things that we're going to do, but what we're not going to do is pass a enhanced orders of protection to take away someone's rights to own guns.
You know, there's been some talk of the use of different medications should be sort of a red flag, but a lot of the medications on that list would include menopausal women, would include postpartum depression sorts of prescriptions. That seems to almost be a war on women, that it would take away the Second Amendment rights of people who are taking doctor-prescribed drugs that really don't have any strong evidence that people go out and become a mass shooter. In this particular transgender woman case, we haven't seen a lot of the medical information about her. Was she being pumped up with steroids or other things that would make her more aggressive, more likely to be more volatile? And we're seeing that with the incidence of transgender violent actions around the country. Despite a very, very tiny percentage in the country, we're seeing a bigger than that percentage of violent crimes. Is this kind of drug list got any traction in Tennessee?
I don't know. I mean, there's a difference between when you're a minor and when you're an adult, right? And so we just got upheld by a panel on the Sixth Circuit on the gender reassignment surgeries and medications, and so that is now against the law for physicians to do that to minors. So that's a win. Then you start getting into adults, and the issue is a lot of medications are used off-label, not for the prescribed purposes, which is the physician, if that's what they want to do. So it does create a lot of issues. I will say the best thing to do is give law enforcement the tools to allow them to evaluate someone. And I think it should be a crime if you make a mass threat against society. I don't think that's normal behavior. And give law enforcement the tools to question you and then put you through a mental health assessment. And then I think the other thing to talk about, we've talked about with Department of Corrections and also with Department of Mental Health, is with Department of Corrections, put everybody who's in Department of Corrections under a mental health evaluation. They go under a risk assessment, but it may not look into antisocial disorders and other things that are a precursor a lot of times for mass shooters or disorders that they have. So that we would kind of know where those individuals are. And then we've been working with Department of Mental Health about expanding the number of inpatient state beds that we have. We only have 577. Obviously, we need a lot more. We have a lot of land in Bolivar that we could use to do that. And so I think we're looking down that road instead.
Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton, great to have you with us. And you're right, a big win, the Tennessee Legislature Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upholding the prevention of surgery to deal with gender dysphoria among minors. Tennessee House Republican Speaker Cam Sexton, good to have you with us. We'll talk again soon, and we'll be back with more of the Todd Starnes Show in a moment.
Smirnoff Ice knows summer comes with all sorts of questions, like, is it okay to drop everything the second the sun comes out and enjoy the day? For your summer vibe, choose Smirnoff Ice Red, White, and Berry. And for flavor with no compromise, choose Smirnoff Ice Red, White, and Berry Zero Sugar. Take some home today. Available at most retailers. Our advice? Choose Smirnoff Ice. Please drink responsibly.
Smirnoff Ice Premium Flavored Malt Beverage. The Smirnoff Company, New York, New York. And Smirnoff Ice Zero Sugar Original Premium Flavored Malt Beverage. The Smirnoff Company, New York, New York.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome in. I'm Steve Gill, filling in for Todd today. Todd is at the Bold and Courageous Tour in Mount Airy, North Carolina. He's speaking tonight with Mark Robinson, the North Carolina Lieutenant Governor, and Nikita Koloff, the Hall of Fame professional wrestler. I pity the fool. A different kind of wrestling. But anyway, he's speaking to faith and community leaders tonight at a special program at the Mount Airy Wesleyan Church. If you'd like to go, you've got to have tickets, even though they're free. And if you go to toddstarnes.com, toddstarnes.com on the web, you can find the link there and reserve your seat. And if you're in the Mount Airy, North Carolina area, be sure to join. It's going to be a great evening, and I know Todd would love to see some of the listeners, visit with some of you as well. Also, if you want to chime in on some of the topics we're talking about today, the number is 844-747-8868. That's the Patriot Mobile Newsmakers line. You can join us at 844-747-8868. We've been talking a little bit today about the disarray in the Democratic Party as they're struggling with what they do with Joe Biden. I mean, Joe Biden struggles to be Joe Biden, but the Democrats are struggling with how do they get rid of him and not elevate Kamala Harris, Miss Word Salad herself. I mean, every time you turn around, she's saying nonsensical sorts of things. You got Joe Manchin, former governor of West Virginia, senator from West Virginia, considering a third party run because, you know, he's been mistreated by the Democratic Party. You know, they promised him if he'd vote for this or vote for that, they'd protect coal country. They didn't. I mean, they have worn him out time and time again, taking him to the woodshed, getting him to do what they want, and then, you know, not delivering on their promises. So Joe Manchin is heading to New Hampshire this weekend. New Hampshire. Let's see. What happens when you go to New Hampshire? Everybody starts speculating that you're running for president. Now, Joe Manchin's not giving any indication that he's running against Joe Biden in the Democratic Party, because he's a moderate to conservative by Democratic Party radical left-wing standards these days. He's not a conservative in how he votes. He's just a conservative in how he talks at election time to get reelected in West Virginia. But that ship has sailed. He has zero chance of getting reelected in West Virginia, having voted against coal country, having voted for all the radical left-wing junk that the Democrats have foisted in terms of the Green New Deal and out-of-control spending. West Virginia is not going to reelect Joe Manchin. They are done with him. So what's next? Well, he's going to New Hampshire with former Utah Governor Huntsman, and they're talking about a run as kind of a third-party team to bring the country together, to pull those independents, disaffected Democrats, disaffected Republicans, and see if there's a narrow lane that could get them in the White House. I don't think it's possible. Third-party candidates don't fare well, and Manchin doesn't have the money or the support, even if you've got Joe Biden and Donald Trump thrashing each other. It would just pull enough Democrat votes, moderate Democrat votes, off the Biden team, particularly when you've got Cornel West, another liberal Democrat who's planning to run as an independent. You've got the prospects that RFK Jr. decides to run as an independent because the Democratic Party's not giving him fair treatment. Or the Democrats can stick with Joe Biden and hope he can struggle and mumble and wander his way back into the White House. Use his hide-in-the-basement strategy again that worked last time, but is unlikely to work this time because he has a record to run on. A record of higher gas prices. A record of higher inflation. You know, they talk about the job growth, you know, people going back to work after COVID. You know, if I leave work on Friday for the weekend and come back on Monday, Joe Biden didn't just create a new job. I'm just going back to work. So people that went back to work after the shutdowns of COVID are not new jobs, new job creation. It hasn't inspired economic growth. Our GDP is at lower levels than it was before Joe Biden got in. Our border is open with millions of illegals flooding into our country. We don't even know where they're coming from, who they are. Sex trafficking at our border is at an all-time high. By the way, if you've not gone to see Sound of Freedom, the movie that details the rampant sex trafficking around the world, with most of the victims being shoved into the United States, and no real persecution or prosecution of those at the center of it. Epstein Island, they got Ghislaine Maxwell. Epstein killed himself, supposedly. But those who were going down there and cavorting with young boys and young girls, enjoying the fruits of Epstein's labors, nothing there. They haven't been exposed. They haven't been punished. They haven't been prosecuted. And millions of these sex trafficked kids are flowing across our border thanks to pedophile Joe Biden. We know he's a pedophile because his own daughter wrote in her diary how disturbed she was that daddy was taking showers with her when she was a teen. And we know Hunter Biden is a pedophile. We've got pictures of him cavorting with young girls, underage girls, doing drugs and having sex with underage prostitutes. Yeah, all those are the hallmarks, but yet nothing's being done. So is Joe Biden going to run on securing our border, improving our economy? People are earning less than inflation takes away. When you go to the grocery store, everything costs more. When you go to the gas pump, everything costs more. Let's go back to the good old days when Donald Trump simply sent out mean tweets, but the economy was thriving. When we were using our own energy resources rather than being dependent upon what the Saudi Arabians want to do or what Russia does selling their energy to China, to India, to the rest of the world. He could run on safety in our streets, on the lack of crime wave in our big cities, except that would be a lie. Now, that's not beyond the Biden administration to come out and just frankly lie. But I don't think the American people are going to buy the lie that their safety and their communities are more secure than it was before he was in and the big city mayor started doing catch and release of violent criminals or defunding the police. So what does Biden run on? Hide in the basement and hope people have forgotten what he's done? Send Kamala Harris out there to communicate the great things that the Biden administration is up to? Tout Bidenomics that nobody is really buying into? Or maybe he could talk about what a great family man he is as he ignores his seventh grandchild, a little girl who's completely innocent, 4 years old, being ignored, being treated as a non-entity by the grandfatherly Joe Biden. And then we've got Axios this week reporting that Joe Biden is continuing to show the signs of dementia. And we can see it when he's walking, when he's embarrassingly unable to traverse a lawn or a beach or a stage without falling down, without stumbling, without giving the blank thousand-yard stare that we just saw in England as he was reviewing the troops with King Charles. Just kind of completely lost. Goes to a gathering of world leaders in Lithuania and can't stay up late enough for dinner with the world leaders and kind of do the grease the skids of international diplomacy by actually having a personal relationship with foreign leaders. Now he can't go stay up late enough for dinner because sleepy Uncle Joe's got to be in bed probably by 4 p.m. Pull his pants up under his armpits, waddle his way to the all-you-can-eat buffet at Luby's at 4 p.m., be in bed by 6. That's a wild night, late night for Uncle Joe. So they can't hide him in the basement. They can't let him be out in public. So what do you do with him? They're going to get rid of him. He's not going to be the Democrat nominee. By January, he'll be done. But they've got to do it sooner rather than later, because if they do it late, then Kamala Harris is the heir apparent. It's not enough time for the Gavin Newsoms or the Pete Buttigieg's or the other wannabes to jump in. So Democrats are scrambling around trying to figure out what to do with Uncle Joe. And that's why you're seeing more and more of these attacks, more and more of the news stories revealing that kindly, gentle, lovable Uncle Grandpa Joe Biden is yelling at his staff, Axios reporting it this week. Again, another of the hallmarks of dementia and senility. Late in the day, apparently, they call it sundowners. He gets more angry, more snippy, more snappy. Loses his patience, screams at people. Leaves the whisper behind. You know how he whispers when he talks. No, he's not whispering when he screams at his staffers, dropping F-bombs at them. But these stories coming out from Biden Central, the fact that the staffers are being instructed, don't bring up what we need to do with the invisible granddaughter. Don't bring that stuff up. Those stories are coming from inside the Biden camp. And the media is starting to report them. When you got folks like the New York Times saying, look, you're mistreating this four-year-old innocent little girl. Embrace her. Bring her to the White House. It's not her fault. So when you've got these shots starting to come from the Democrat media, from the insiders at the Democrat White House of Biden, that tells you something's going on. And meanwhile, you've got Gavin Newsom lurking in the wings, just waiting, wanting to bring the Californication to the country that he's destroyed the once great golden state. People are fleeing the state like crazy because he's doing such a great job. Taxes are high. People can't afford it. Homelessness is rampant on the streets. Drug needles all scattered in front of businesses. Defecation, you know, is taking place right in front of people's businesses. But, oh, no, that's the California way, the Democrat way. And you see the same thing in other big cities and blue states. Portland, Seattle, New York City, where you can't even go on the subway without being at risk of being stabbed, pushed into the way of a train. looting in stores that they're, you know, starting to see big shops and stores in San Francisco and others just leave. They can't afford to allow their property to be stolen with impunity. So what are the Democrats going to run on? More of the same? Maybe they're going to depend on people don't like Donald Trump, don't like his personality. And maybe in a close race, like it happened last time, where by a few thousand votes in Arizona and a few thousand votes in Pennsylvania and a few thousand votes in Georgia, many of which were clearly illegally cast or illegally counted, but they were just enough to get by. Can you do that if there's a third-party candidate or multiple third-party candidates, like Cornel West, like RFK Jr., like Joe Manchin? Some Republicans may not love Donald Trump, but there's a 35, 40, 45% base of Republicans who absolutely adore Donald Trump. Is there any base of voters in the Democratic Party that love Uncle Joe Biden, other than those that are party to the Biden crime family scheme, or are so desperate to keep power themselves that they think that's the only choice they have? But just being anti-Trump may not be enough. So third-party candidates have the Democrats in a panic. And with Joe Manchin going to New Hampshire this weekend, probably not just because he's looking for cooler weather. Newt Gingrich used to say when he would travel to New Hampshire from time to time, you know, if I go to Iowa, people pay attention. If I go to North Carolina, you know, I'll give a speech and people may pay attention. If I go to New Hampshire, everybody starts thinking I'm running for president and they will pay attention. The media will follow. The newspapers will report it. Now, Joe Manchin may just be screwing with the Democrats, going up to get them to pay attention to him to try and elicit a few extra amendments to bills in the U.S. Senate that will cater to the people in West Virginia, maybe try to make good with them. But the far left isn't going to let Joe Manchin get anything passed. It's actually going to reduce the nutwittery, not nitwittery, but nutwittery of the Green New Deal. They're going to kill the coal industry. They're going to kill the oil and gas industry. They're going to force everybody into electric vehicles despite the fact that our power grid can't handle what we have now. So Joe Biden is not going to be able to find a way to get Joe Manchin to play nice enough to keep him out of the third-party reins if that's where he wants to head. So maybe he's just going to New Hampshire to mess with the Democrats, to make them come, you know, kiss his rear end. Or maybe he and Huntsman are actually getting ready to do something unique and devastating to the Democrats. We'll talk more about it in the next segment. If you want to join us on the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Judy and Charles, hang on. We'll get right back to your calls in a moment. So we talked earlier today with Congressman Tim Burchett about the prospect of aliens cavorting around in our skies. Look, I just hope if there's aliens out there and that they're coming to Earth, that they're more like the green chick in Star Trek rather than the Romulans or the Borg or the bad ones. I hope it's the good ones. Let's go to Judy in Bartlett, Tennessee on KWAM on our Patriot Newsmakers line. Judy, good to have you with us. You had a comment about the impact aliens might have for Christians, and would it have an impact on our faith?
Exactly. Warm greetings from the South, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, we know that when Satan was banished from heaven because he wanted to be God, he took a third of the angels with him. Why is it not a good stretch to think that possibly that is what we're looking at, is a third of those angels that were banished with Satan?
Well, and if we go to Genesis, we know that some of the angels were coming here and cavorting with and having relations with earthly humans.
Exactly.
The giants of ages beyond. Again, there's a lot in there that preachers don't like to talk about that passage very much.
Yeah. So it's not a far stretch for me to think that these aliens are just doing Satan's bidding with what else is going on in the world.
Although,
a comment.
Although they might be an improvement over some of the leadership we have.
What a thought. Always on the positive. Thank you.
Judy, thanks for your call. Listening on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, Bartlett. Charles in North Carolina, listening on WSIC on the Patriot Newsmakers line. Charles, you wanted to weigh in on Joe Biden. By the way, I don't know if you happen to catch the clip on The View, because you probably don't watch it. I just watch it so that you don't have to. But apparently Joy Behar is turned on by Joe Biden screaming and dropping the F-bomb on his staff. It turned her on. So apparently she likes dirty talk.
Well, yeah, and that kind of sounds like someone saying an abused person secretly likes the abuse. Okay, so he's admitting to that, huh? That doesn't jibe with their usual radical feminist, kind of worldview. But as long as you were listing things about the Biden family, also it was found on Hunter Biden's phone that his dad's number was listed under the name Pedo Pete about the time the Ashley Biden diary came to light. And that ties into the movie Sound of Freedom, which I have seen. And, when I'm telling people about it, I still get emotional. I saw it a few days ago, and I highly recommend it to everybody. But, Rolling Stone and, other mainstream rags are coming out and comparing it to QAnon, or trying to associate it with that, which was nothing but a live-action role-playing game, called a LARP, that was going around on 4chan that was given credence by the mainstream being frightened by it.
And the Sound of Freedom is a true story that happened long before, QAnon was even ever mentioned. And for them to disavow or try to downplay the 2 million children a year who are being sucked into the sex trafficking, the fact that Rolling Stone, again, a good indication of this is your mind on drugs, that Rolling Stone and the other mainstream media are mocking and laughing about this, saying it's not true. It's ridiculous. And again, anybody that's not seen the movie, go see it. If you've seen it, go see it again, because the fact that it's having an impact both at the box office as well as culturally is vitally important. Charles, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening on WSIC in North Carolina. When we come back, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall is going to join us. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled in favor of Tennessee's law dealing with the surgery on minors dealing with transgender issues. It's not just happening in Tennessee. It's a national issue. And we'll talk with Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall next. And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show, live from the Liberty University Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. If you want to join us on the phone lines, as we did in the last segment, feel free to do so at 844-747-8868. We were talking earlier with Tennessee Speaker of the House Cameron Sexton about the fact that in Tennessee, the legislature passed a law banning transgender surgeries for minor children, and the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals has just upheld that legislation as being constitutional. The left going crazy about it, saying it's not giving care to these transgender youth. Hey, when you're removing somebody's genitals at the edge of a scalpel, that's not care. That's permanent disfigurement. And the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld that. It's not a Tennessee issue, though. I think there's about 18 or 19 states that have similar legislation. And Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall is on our Patriot Newsmakers line to share a little bit about what he and other Republican attorney generals around the country are doing to try and protect youth from this sort of permanent disfigurement. Steve, thanks for being with us.
Oh, good to be with you, and what a great victory in the Sixth Circuit last week.
And again, the left, keeps calling it care. It's not care, it's permanent disfigurement. And I like to use the example that I don't support spay and neutering of children. It may be okay with cats and dogs, but when you're removing the reproductive organs of children permanently when they're 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, even for adults when they're in their mid-20s, there are all sorts of restrictions of how long they've got to go through the transition. This kind of let's quickly do surgery on children and, again, spay and neuter kids is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's more than just surgery, Steve. I mean, we got off-label use of medications that have been deemed experimental across Europe. And what we're doing in the United States right now is what has been a failed experiment in Europe as it relates to kids. Really pleased to see General's Committee and his team help convince the Sixth Circuit to uphold Tennessee's decision. And frankly, this is going to be the template for us around the country to allow for other state legislators like Alabama and many other states that believe this is a worthwhile effort to weigh in to protect kids.
Well, and that's one of the things that the Republican attorney generals across the country are doing. It's setting that template, as you point out, that you then know what the courts will approve. You know where the line is. You know where the boundary line is. So the legislators have a roadmap to dealing with this that you know is going to meet court approval. Now, you can push the edge a little bit more if you wish, but you know that that will survive.
And not only the roadmap for legislators, but also other courts that are examining this issue. Frankly, Judge Sutton's decision, which was tremendous and thorough, and of course, there's still more to come, really laid out the analysis of these issues in a way that we've not seen any other courts that have addressed it to do it thus far. And so really pleased to see a conservative judge, an originalist thinker, be able to evaluate these claims and see them for what they are, which is they are unconstitutional claims that are being levied against the respective states. And it's ultimately our policymakers that need to be deciding healthcare decisions in our country and not federal courts.
When we look at kind of the trend line of the Democrats nationally and the issues they're pursuing, whether it's this transgender surgery for minors, whether it's the drag shows that are pornographic for children, are Democrats really thinking that this is the agenda that's going to win them the hearts and minds of most American voters?
Yeah, great question. But this administration is all in. I mean, there's no doubt that there is an effort around gender ideology among multiple fronts. I mean, see, when would we have ever worried about this idea of boys competing against girls in sports, right? I mean, that is something just common sense says shouldn't be happening. But yet, you know, we want to see the Biden administration try to compel through the school lunch program efforts to allow for transgender kids to participate in athletics and to disavow state laws on that front. We've seen, you know, multiple work by this administration to really push this using the levers of the federal government in ways that people reject. And so this has been fertile field, frankly, for AGs around the country to be able to push back against the Biden administration. But there's no doubt, along with climate change, that gender ideology is where this administration has doubled down, believing that somehow or another they're placating a very small part of the electorate that is not reflective of what I know exists in Tennessee and definitely doesn't exist in Alabama.
Well, as you point out, the idea of withholding school lunch funding, starving kids, making kids go hungry so they can force boys into girls' locker rooms, boys into girls' bathrooms, they're willing to starve kids to pursue this radical agenda that, again, I don't think is going to pay well at the polls if Republicans make the case well of what's actually at stake. Now, again, they're going to lie. I mean, the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida didn't say don't say gay. The transgender care bill doesn't restrict care for adults. It restricts mutilation of children underage. The drag show bills, you know, nobody was bothered with drag shows if adults want to go. But when you start doing that in the presence of children with provocative sexual performances, you know, the same way that if a dad wants to take his kid to a strip club, an 8-year-old, Department of Children's Service is going to be at his doorstep in a minute.
Yeah, and the last point, Steve, that you point out, I think is important, is that much of the discussion around the laws restricting these experimental treatments on kids really is around, well, shouldn't a parent have the right to decide? Well, here, number one, I don't think parents are fully informed. You've got a medical apparatus that is looking at a profit motive and not the best interest of kids that are selling facts that truly are a lie. But also, the state has a broader responsibility to protect children, even against the wishes of certain parents. I mean, the reality is that parents can't allow their kids to engage in dangerous behavior knowing the potential outcome. Here, that's what's happening in these various clinics around the country, including in Tennessee, where children are being exposed to experimental treatments we don't know are going to be long-term in the effect, but what we do know is that ultimately they're going to sterilize folks that ultimately have a change of heart down the road about the decisions that were made by parents to allow these treatments to take place.
Well, and we've often been told that, particularly for boys, their frontal lobe doesn't fully form till they're 26. For some of us, it would be in the 50s and 60s. But we know that good decision-making among young men doesn't really start at an early age. So, you know, making the decision at 9 or 10 that, you know, I want to be a girl, I've said that, you know, I'm fortunate that when I wanted to be a pirate when I was 8 years old, my parents didn't poke out one of my eyes, cut off my leg, and give me a parrot. Now, I would have liked the parrot, But I think today I'd be regretting the loss of a leg and an eye.
Yeah, and I've had multiple conversations as a result of litigation that we're having in Alabama with individuals who were transitioned, who have significant regrets later in their adult life. And it's compelling to hear their stories about what they thought at the time of their youth, and now what they've realized they have become adults. And so one of the things that I hope that we'll continue to see efforts from the courts reflected in the decision that took place last week in the Sixth Circuit is acknowledgement that we call this what it is, experimental treatment on kids and not true science and good medical practice.
I know you and the other attorney generals keep a close eye on kind of the political implications of this stuff as well as the policy implications. Have you noticed that the LGBTQ community, the lesbian, gay community, is seeming to distance themselves a bit from the transgender community, particularly as they push the radical ideas of boys competing against girls in sports, this, you know, the drag shows, the surgeries? More and more of the folks that I'm seeing in the lesbian and gay community are going back to LGBTQ and leaving the T off. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, and they're not drinking Bud Light.
No.
I mean, I think that is somewhat reflective, again, of where the electorate is. And if you look at the impact on Bud Light, if you look at the impact on Target, and to see how the general public has responded to them embracing certain aspects of the transgender movement, then I think people are politically smart to see that. I mean, not only are we right on this, Stephen, let's get that perfectly clear. The politics aside, we're right to be leveraging these issues and to raising them to the awareness of the public. But also when you see the left either becoming a little bit silenced or nuanced in their discussion, I think it's a reflection that they understand where the public is. I mean, you take a little bit of a different area around ESG. The same thing's going on there, right? When Larry Fink and BlackRock are kind of leading this charge for so long, and now suddenly they're saying, oh, my bad, I think I really shouldn't have been engaged in this, and I really shouldn't have been having these discussions. Those changes in public statements are not as a reflection of where the politics are, but it's really around where the policy is and the fact that we're getting that policy right and they got it wrong.
We're talking with Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great guy, great lawyer. His preference of college football teams is his only real failing. One of the issues that you guys as attorney generals, Republican attorney generals, are also dealing with is the crime, the rampant crime that we're seeing, the out-of-control crime in our major cities. And George Soros is funding the DAs. Again, I know it's a lower level than state AGs, but they've taken over the DA's offices in so many of these big cities where catch and release, get them and let them go. Not going to prosecute theft below $1,000 or $5,000 or whatever it is. How can attorney generals deal with that kind of funding, electing lower-level DAs that impacts citizens across your state?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, I guess, if you want to give Soros credit, he at least understood that prosecutors are the true gatekeepers of the criminal justice system, and if he could control that particular office, then he could have an impact in allowing his liberal criminal justice policies to come into play. And, you know, we've seen Chicago now, San Francisco now, many of our larger blue cities that have become the victims of that decision. And one thing that is a little bit nuanced among the states is that whether you're in Alabama, where an AG has total criminal prosecution authority, where a state like Georgia may be very limited, it's almost become a state-by-state decision. You know, uniquely in Alabama, I can take over any criminal case at any time and, in fact, prepare to do that. If we see individual AG or DA is not willing to do their jobs, you know, we saw Governor DeSantis take very strong action in the state of Florida when you had a DA that said, I'm not going to fulfill my lawful responsibility if, in fact, someone violates the law by allowing unlawful abortions to take place. And so this is one that I think my colleagues around the country are now seeing as an important role for us, but even more so is making sure that we're advancing and discussing good criminal justice policy. The reality is that the narrative around criminal justice reform typically means that we're going to lessen punishments and accountability and allow for more people to be on our streets. We've seen this uptick in crime, particularly around violent crime, that I think are a reflection of criminal justice gone bad. And I think we can't hide from the fact that bad criminal justice policy leads to bad results.
Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall with us. By the way, his Twitter account is at AG Steve Marshall, at AG Steve Marshall. One minute or so left. What are the attorney generals also working on that, that you see as kind of the tip of the spear in pushing back against the Biden administration's executive orders, unlawful means of trying to create new laws without going through the legislative process? You guys have been the tip of the spear in pushing back, and you're winning victory after victory. It just takes a while between the executive order going into effect and the courts stopping it.
It does. And in fact, you can look at the last week of the Supreme Court term when AGs were involved in the victory around 303 Creative to be able to work on compelled speech the government tries to have involving a website creator around gay marriage, the student loan forgiveness program, which we're able to be back in defeat when this administration acted without authority to try to forgive student loans, and then a great victory around affirmative action where we were engaged in that area as well. And so, you know, Steve, uniquely this job gives us an opportunity to be involved at a national level along a variety of issues. And I'm proud to lead a group right now that has been extremely successful in doing things that I think our country needs.
Well, you're doing a great job, as are the other Republican AGs. And we'll continue to be great friends, even the third weekend in October.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Steve Marshall, the Attorney General from Alabama. Again, his Twitter account, at AG Steve Marshall, at AG Steve Marshall. And we'll be back with more of the Todd Starnes Show in just a moment.
Hi, this is Elton John here. Together with the Alliance for Lifetime Income, I'm spreading the word about the importance of protected income, which is money you're guaranteed to get. Protected income from an annuity helps ensure you have all your bases covered so you can have the financial freedom to tick off your bucket list. Meet with your financial advisor to ask if you have protected income and get their help making a plan that fits your unique financial goals. Go to protectedincome.org today.
And welcome back in. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Steve Gill filling in for Todd. Thank you all for being gentle and kind today as I sit in the big seat. Todd will be back tomorrow in the Liberty University studios. By the way, it's more important than ever, as we kind of talked about the Sound of Freedom movie, to support companies and organizations that share our values. And you can do that with Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. So when you're looking at where you go to eat, when you're looking at what movie to go see, you know, you're wanting to promote the Christian conservative values that we share. Well, the same thing comes to true when you're looking at your mobile phone. And they actually do something about the shared beliefs. A portion of every dollar that they receive, they donate to organizations that fight for the causes we care about. So if you'll switch to Patriot Mobile now, use the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D, to get free activation and a free gift. It's the broadest nationwide coverage available. It uses the same towers as other carriers. But more importantly, they share our values. And they share their values with great discounts for veterans and first responder heroes and others. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Again, you know, share your resources with the folks that share our values. Don't fund the enemy, as it were. By the way, in Tennessee, teachers are funding the enemy. Members of the Tennessee Education Association, people who are in other states are members of the National Education Association, associated groups in their states. Teachers may have conservative values, but every time they pay their dues to their teachers' union, it's funding the anti-Second Amendment, the pro-abortion, the pro-LGBTQ radical agenda. The left-wing agenda of the National Education Association is supported by the dues of teachers who are just joining their local teachers' union. But that money is going to fund the most provocative, radical, liberal agenda at the national level. Now, in Tennessee, the legislature passed a bill to stop the teachers' unions from being able to have the state collect their union dues for them. Now, you could still be a member of the union. You can go to your bank and have the automatic withdrawal and pay your union dues that way. But the state has been collecting the money at taxpayer expense. Well, the Tennessee legislature has put a stop to it in a new bill that just went into effect but is now being blocked until a hearing tomorrow. The teachers' union is trying to stop this legislation in order to force Tennessee taxpayers to continue to fund their radical agenda through the dues being deducted by and collected by the school system at taxpayer expense. Now, what's interesting is the Tennessee legislation tied the removal of that ability of the teachers' union to use us to collect their union dues with a pay raise for teachers, $120 million pay raise for teachers. The teachers' union, which claims to be for teachers, has sued to stop that legislation. There's going to be a hearing tomorrow by a three-judge panel. They've sued to stop it, which would stop the $120 million pay raise to teachers in Tennessee. Don't believe when the National Education Association or your state education association that's affiliated with the National Education Association, the radical leftist, pro-Democrat, anti-gun, pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ radical agenda. Don't believe it when they say they care about kids. They don't. They care about collecting union dues. Don't believe it when they say they care about teachers. They care about collecting union dues, even at the expense of a good pay raise in Tennessee for supposedly their members. And teachers, why are you funding things you oppose? You can't go to the Baptist church on Sunday and then allow your money on Monday to go to promote this radical left-wing agenda. You need to start speaking up and stepping up and sticking by your values. You have a great rest of the day. Todd will be back tomorrow. I'm Steve Gill. If you'll go to my Twitter account, @TheGillReport, you can find more links to the stories we've talked about. And you have a great rest of the day.